8 artists, 8 different styles, a variety of medium. For over 20 years, what has brought them together? Stay tuned. Issues and Ideas continues now with Ears on Art. Good afternoon. I'm Chrissy Hewitt, and with my co-host Stephen DeLuque, we produce Ears on Art here at KCPX Public Radio for the California Central Coast. For the most part, the program explores the world of the visual arts. Today, I continue my conversation with Sue McKee and Jeanette Wolf, two longtime artists here on the Central Coast. Last week, we explored their love of collage, a process of making use of torn up pieces of paper, torn up pieces of cloth, maybe some other materials, gluing things down, overlapping them, and eventually an image or perhaps just an abstract pattern emerges. This week, we turn to the other love in their lives, and that is a group of 8 artists who have been meeting together monthly for over 20 years. They do a pretty good job of describing what happens at these meetings, so I'll let them tell that. For those who have spent much time in education, critique is usually seen as a very formal process as part of class activities. In this case, it takes on a very different feel, but with much of the same ability to gain information and insight about the individual works that they're doing. Start off today with Sue McKee, and Jeanette Wolf will join in the conversation very shortly. Okay, so you've referenced a group dynamic that the two of you have been involved with. I think that it's easy for people to think that artists kind of go off in their studio and just sort of, don't bother me, I'm thinking or trying to create. So what was the motivation to find people to come together? How's that matured and developed over the years?
Well, it is a lonely profession or activity, although it, I think, requires a certain amount of that because you are doing, it's pretty introspective.
Right.
And yet, as we'd indicated, you come to a point where you're not sure if you're finished or if it's any good. So it helps to have others whose work you respect comment and make suggestions, good or bad. And it's not necessarily someone who works in the same medium that you do. It's just someone whose opinion you respect. Nyla Collini, many years ago, had an experience down in the San Diego area of being in a group that she found very nourishing. She moved up here and was very active with the Art Center for many years and then wanted to start such a group. It was she, I guess, who started a group of 8 of us who've been meeting together for 20, 25 years, once a month, in our various homes, and it's been very, very nourishing, I have to say, over the years.
Describe a gathering or a meeting, but also just how that has changed over the years, or has it, Jeanette?
This group of 8 have become more trusting of each other, I think. We really listen. We laugh a lot, too.
And we eat a lot.
And we eat a lot. and it starts with a little coffee and a little food and laughter and a month's worth of catching up. And we're not supposed to be talking about grandkids or things like that. It's got to be sort of about art. Mm-hmm. And when it gets going the other direction, we'll say, okay, where's our art? And we'll sit around in a semicircle and we'll show our paintings one by one, slowly, if you want it to be that way. Some mm-hmm. people put them up and mm-hmm. put them right back down. They just aren't too sure. For me, it's meant everything. It's given me greater confidence. I can tell right away if my painting evokes any kind of emotion in the group, good or bad. I'd prefer it if they'll say, oh, wow, that's a good one. That's the ideal. But it's also wonderful if they'll say, it's good, but Have you ever thought of maybe a little dark there and there, and we'll get going in the conversation, and it's so helpful.
We thought we had to have a name. Being a group of women, we had all kinds of ideas. Some were good, some not so good. We couldn't come up with a name. And finally, the husband of Rosemary Pichotta said, well, for Pete's sake, you're Artists of the Central Coast. Just sort of shorten that to be Art Cinco. So that became our name 20, 25 years ago. So to him, we were grateful for solving that problem. but it's, as Jeanette said, it's been very supportive. And it's a group of friends who have, you know, watched husbands get ill and sometimes die, and watched our children and grandchildren grow up. So it's more than just supporting art. It's a very deep friendship that we've cemented over the years. But art is the glue.
Well, you become very conscious these days of people who focus on reading a book and talking about it. But you quickly learn that that goes beyond the reading of the book and mm-hmm. talking about it. So it's not an unusual activity, but there is a difference if everybody's reading something that none in the group created versus that vulnerability of saying, this is it, this is what
Here
I did
am.
This
yeah.
month,
yeah.
or 10 years ago because I didn't do anything this
exactly.
month. But
I've noticed, and just recently, one of our members has become very confident over the years. She used to put her things up and make some statement and put it right back down. She really couldn't handle too much. She couldn't handle a challenge. But now, and I'm talking about our last meeting, when she had a piece up, she listened to the comments and very carefully. And when we were finished, she said, thank you very much. I don't think I'm going to do any of those things. And we knew the whole group had been successful. We graduated her.
Yeah. We've all been there to one extent or another. There's a certain amount of value you put in your own opinion, having heard everyone else's opinion, and that's important.
Mm-hmm. The process that happens in the privacy of the studio as you're struggling with something and think that maybe you've resolved it, but then somebody else says, no.
No, you haven't yet. Or maybe that needs to go back in the trash bin. Or this is one value of collage. You can always tear up a painting and use those pieces over again.
Oh, yeah, it can be endless. It can get 3 feet thick. It's a fun thing to do.
I certainly know for myself when I've struggled with something and I think that I've come up with a solution, I'm probably far more protective of it in a way and maybe a little less open to the idea that there was still another option. And it doesn't mean that mine maybe wasn't an okay one.
Right.
But there's always probably another one.
Yeah. Well, this, I think, is what Jeanette was indicating, that we've learned trust for one another, but we've also learned to trust our own instincts. And you have to decide which one you're going to listen to that month.
Yeah. And there are other times of struggling with a piece, and at that time I was still in school, and my instructor, whom I admired a great deal, was saying, I don't think that's going to work. I was making a baby cup for a friend, and I was trying to design the foot structure for it. It was just hours of struggle. So when he came in and saw it for the first time and made a comment about, well, I'm not sure that that basic design for a foot of a baby cup is particularly practical. And I'm just going, oh, damn it. Okay. Or words stronger than that. Yeah. And he and I sometimes, and others, would go across the street to a coffee shop and have lunch. So we're there, and I'm finding I'm not feeling very hungry. And I finally looked at him and said, I want you to solve this, and I don't want you to say a word. And he was smart enough to keep his mouth shut. And I went back and kept working that afternoon. And by this time, it was our class, and a classmate was sitting across from me, and I put this piece up on a little strip counter between the desks. And as I'm putting it up there, I'm going, I think I've got it. Because I looked, and I could see her expression, which was quite instantaneous confirmation of that. Okay.
Not often. That's wonderful when one all of a sudden just evolves and you think, yeah, this is good. I've accomplished something, but usually it is a tunnel you have to come through.
Unfortunately, it happens so seldom that things fall into place that you don't recognize it until it's too late.
Yeah.
You've already put that other layer of stuff over the top.
Yeah. That's where you need someone else to snatch away all your...
Yeah. But when it does happen, oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Well, this same instructor's philosophy about his own work was, my best work does itself.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes.
That is a truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just in talking about our Art Senko group, as I say, we kept the number that we had to 8 simply because that was the number we felt would be easily handleable at each home, and also we could take time to look at the work for each one of us. We were just trying to make a list of those that we've known, been through the group, and it's we've lost several members. I think 4 we decided.
Yes.
Nyla Collini, who was our founder, just recently died. Carol Bateman was a wonderful artist, did floral paintings that were just incredible. We lost her many years ago to cancer. Who else do we have?
Shirley Pittman. Another wonderful, wonderful artist.
Talk about prolific.
Yeah, she died just a few years ago. I guess that's all we lost, just 3?
Mm, yeah.
That's not so bad in 20-some years.
When you do have somebody either move away or die, mm-hmm. and the group mm-hmm. shifts, so... how do you go about bringing it back to 8, or do you worry about that right away? I mean, is 6 okay, or?
6 is okay for a while, but we like 8. But you're right, in choosing another member, it always is a little bit heart-wrenching because, of course, we miss the one that we've lost. But it's just a case that someone will suggest another artist that they know in the area who's serious about what they do and they think would be a nice addition, and we either... know that person or someone else, you know, said, well, that'd be a good fit. So then we invite them to join the group. So Libby Tolley was one who was part of the original group.
And at one point, she left us for a while. She's back with us again, but she left us because she is so serious about her art that she felt she needed to devote everything to it. She didn't want to dilute her goals. She had goals. She wrote a wonderful book, and she's very well known. And anyway, she's back with us again, and we're real happy about that.
And let's see, we have Rosemary Pichotta, who's does wonderful figure work, and she's been with us from the very beginning. Sally Tipman has joined us in the last, 2-3 years?
And Ann Ladin has been with us for quite a long time.
And Judy Lyon, her beautiful... excellent work. You know, she's been with us from the beginning.
You can recognize her watercolors. They're very granular. It's hard to describe. They're not exactly realistic, but there's something so unique about them.
And the interesting thing is we name all these people. If you know their work, you realize that we are very different from one another. There are no two of us who do work really that's similar, and yet we have a great deal of respect for one another's work. And Dottie Hawthorne.
Yes.
She just moved away, darn it. But she was part of the original group, too.
Yeah, we miss her terribly.
Yeah.
You're listening to Ears on Art here on KCBX Public Radio. I am Chrissy Hewitt, and I'm talking today with artists Sue McKee and Jeanette Wolf. For over 20 years, they have been part of a small group of artists who come together once a month and critique each other's work, as well as become good friends. We'll get back now to this conversation. So that diversity that you're finding amongst you, how does that end up being the plus as opposed to a minus, or is it sometimes a minus?
I don't think it's ever been a minus. Maybe a difficult one right now is our newest member, Helen Davey. She is a printmaker now at Studios on the Park. She's done beautiful illustrations. Maybe it's been a little more difficult for her to figure out where we're coming from and for us to figure out where she's came from, but we're getting it together. She's only been to a few meetings, and it's going to work, I can see. We're going to learn a lot from her.
I think that's it. We learn from one another, and it's not as if you want to paint in the same style or the same medium, but it's all art, and it's all expression, and I think it's very enriching that we share a respect for one another's work.
And I was asking that question not really because I think that there is any sense of supposed to or right wrong to that, but I think it is interesting that if one is almost consciously picking, selecting people who are doing stuff that isn't just right in the same vein that you're doing it, really speaks to that interest in staying active in your mind, I think, doesn't it?
I think so. I think it keeps it fresh. And there are times when you come home and say, well, gosh, let me see if I can do that. Or those colors were really interesting. Or I'd like to try something new. I think art is always an exploration. Not necessarily that you want to duplicate what someone else has done, but it's just as very, nourishing is the word, I guess, that comes to mind most often for me.
I imagine it'd be really interesting to have a look at something that each of you did 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's easy to forget, have we changed or how have we changed? And sometimes for some people, it's a very drastic shift, and other people, it's just an interesting progression.
Well, I mentioned that very first collage painting that I did. I drug it out of the closet just weeks ago for this last workshop I gave as an idea of how I started. And when I look at it now, I realize I haven't changed basically at all. It was very humorous. I came home from that instruction and glued down my daughter as if she were had just gone through the tornado in The Wizard of Oz. She looked just like it. Her hair was all over the place. I'd put straw for her hair, and I had a picture of a barn flying, and it's pretty funny, and it had the basic ideas and the basic composition, and it might even be better because I wasn't so overconfident.
We were laughing. We haven't done many shows together as a group, and we thought once it would be fun if we did because we are so different. And on one occasion, we tried painting the same thing, a seashell or something, and our different styles. And it was really interesting to see all the different approaches to that. Mm-hmm. But we did one called Postcards from Afar or something.
Yes.
And we were laughing because we put out a postcard advertising the show. We took a picture across the street. There was a family that had a tiny little RV motorhome. So we said, well, these are supposed to be, paintings of postcards from other places. So let's pretend that we're traveling. And we all put on traveling clothes, kind of goofy hats and suitcases. And all eight of us stood in front of this tiny little RV and took a picture. And that was our announcement of the art show. And we were amazed afterwards how many people thought, gosh, did all eight of you really travel in that little RV?
I've got postcards the right here.
Yeah, let me get it for you. I know this is radio, but
now you can see we're all here.
All here and all with hats.
Yep. Yep. In any event, we've done a couple of shows, but by and large, we sort of go our own ways when it comes to displaying our artwork.
I think that whole idea of working on a similar theme with different styles, and I know another group has put themselves in that place of going, okay, this is a restriction, mm-hmm. but it's only restrictive if you're seeing it that way. But those things often just kind of tie our hands in knots for a little while and go, I don't paint seashells.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I think sometimes that team effort towards something every once in a while just kind of reminds you why it's really important to be together. Mm-hmm. And then you dissipate off into your studios and then coalesce again.
It is important to be together. I always suggest that to people. Like in my workshops, I'll say, if you're painting alone and you're afraid of it, get a group because that'll make it more fun. It has to. Mm-hmm. It's a good idea.
In fact, we have come to the point where we each summer feel like we should have a sleepover. all us grandmothers, and we've gone up to Deegan's and spent the night there and just had a fun time.
Wonderful.
And then gone off and painted off in the trees there. We actually spent a night in Avila.
Last year.
Yeah. That was fun.
Well, can I back up? We do have dues. We're serious. We don't take a roll call or anything, but we have $2 a month dues.
Oh, yes.
With that money, we don't buy get well cards or anything, but we add it to our yearly or every other year trip. Pretty local, you know, but we talk about going to Paris and places like
that. And who knows? We might have to up it to $3.
Hey!
And I'll also suggest Camp Ocean Pines if you haven't done that, because it's gorgeous. My disclaimer is that I'm now on the board of directors, so I get to be much more conscious of the kind of things that are available. Probably lots of places like that. There are times I realize I've lived in this county now for almost 40 years, and I think the list is much longer of where I haven't been than where I have, probably, whether it's in the county or just within that easy day jaunt. We've got a wealth of visual stimuli around here.
That's for sure. We do. Yeah. Our very first trip, the one up near Los Olivos, this side of it, and it was a little interesting. Remember the dining room sloped, so you had to hang on to your coffee cup in the morning?
We were the only ones there in this rundown cabin on a pretty sad lake. Yeah, in the little dining room, you could drop a marble at one end, and you have to run to catch it to get to the other end.
And there were strange birds, wild turkeys that weren't so wild. It was fun.
You can see, we do more than art here.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I think that's the great part of this. When we become friends, then all sorts of things are available.
Yeah, right. And we painted. And the birds joined us, I remember, whatever they were.
Anything that we've not touched on that feels important to make sure that if people are getting to know a little bit about Sue McKee and Jeanette Wolf?
One thing that I'm thinking of that I sort of invented, but of course you don't invent anything, but I, we're talking about my old photos that I got at garage sales and things. I discovered that I could have them enlarged. I could go to a business place and have them made in all different sizes, and then I put them together. It makes for interest, entertainment.
Last week, Sue McKee discussed kind of stumbling on collage as a response to living in China and seeing a lot of trash floating around in the wind and just bits of paper all over the place. And I'm loving this description of sort of making China tidy.
Yeah, China, I understand, has changed a great deal. I actually came back from there. I was there 2 years from in 1999 and 2000 and then returned in 2004. And I'm told that it's changed a lot, but I don't think it's a whole lot tidier. So I have to keep working. Wonderful people. We love the Chinese, but we don't really understand one another yet, maybe never will.
So much of our lives, we just aren't able to really understand how much we just sort of simplify what we think somebody is about.
Exactly.
Because there isn't the time or the ability often to fill in all of those pieces. And what I'm really sensing is the beauty of this group is that you have been able to discover a lot more about the pieces that not only make your artwork tick, but obviously as friends, as individuals, that you can appreciate.
Yeah. It's been a very enriching part of my life is to be part of this group. As they say, it's been going on for between 20 and 25 years, and they've been a lot of growing up, I think, certainly for me in that time as a result.
I don't think I can add to that. Surprisingly.
I just want to let you know that it's always a pleasure talking with people who are so involved and excited about what they're doing, because it's contagious. That's what doing this program for all these years has been for me. It's just, I now describe it as without doubt the best graduate seminar class that anybody could ever take. In many ways, it's a wealth of confirmation that this artistic, creative process seems to be universal enough. There's so many common threads, and I think that that's just been really validating to go, oh, this is how you stumble. This is how you feel when you don't stumble. This is, but it is to get stuck. How do you get out of the stuck place? And maybe with collage, you kind of get out of the stuck place by putting more stuff on
more glue on it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. I think some people don't put much worth to art, but it's too bad for them.
As I'm sure often you are too, ask the question of how long does this take?
Yeah.
If it's a one of a kind, there is no definitive answer to that.
No.
If I've done 10 of them almost identically, then I could probably give you a response. Yeah. Yeah. But it's that damn thinking time.
That's right.
That you can't account for.
I had one friend who was a photographer artist, and someone asked her that question, and she took a photograph of a shaft of lightning. It was really dramatic. And someone said, well, how can you charge money for that? It only took megaseconds. And she said, it took a lifetime.
Sure. Yeah. All of our paintings have taken a lifetime.
Yeah.
The event may happen very quickly, but and it can have happened many times in your life, but that doesn't mean that you were conscious of it or understanding its beauty or feeling its beauty.
For instance, you mentioned how some paintings or works of art just happen, just go together by magic. That's not true. It's been a lifetime doing that.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, when you get to that point in the lifetime, you kind of think it should happen again and again and again.
That's true.
That ain't so. Darn it.
Start all over again.
Yeah. Luckily, I love to garden, too. So when I get to a point where I'm really frustrated, I just go out and pull weeds because it's pretty easy.
Just, they're always there.
They're always there, and I know what's a weed. I don't have to worry about it.
Do you have a release, Sue?
Tennis. I like to play tennis, and I have some grandmothers I play tennis with, and it's a great friendship group as well.
And there's always eating. Well, I can't thank you enough, Sue.
Oh, pleasure. Thank you, Swan. Been fun.
Jeanette?
Well, I'm surprised I could remember most of the words. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, you're most welcome. Today's guests on Ears on Art have been Sue McKee and Jeanette Wolfe. If you missed last week's part one of this conversation, we hope that you will go to the KCBX website and check out the Ears on Art archives. This conversation has certainly emphasized to me the value of not trying to work in a vacuum. It's not only fun, it's important to allow ourselves to be challenged about what it is that we're trying to do. Above all, it just seems really valuable to appreciate how common the search is that we have when we're trying to create. You have been listening to Ears on Art here on KCBX Public Radio. Co-host Stephen DeLuque and I, Chrissy Hewitt, usually interview on site and do post-production of the material here at the studio. The month of July is obviously up next, coming all too fast, and we'll be back with another program. Till then, as always, thank you so much for listening.